Our study of Philippians. I know the Bible study class has a couple more weeks to finish up on that. And the title of the sermon is God's Provision. We're going to be talking about that. As we come to encapsulate this message, I've been doing a lot of reading by an author named Dallas Willard. If you have never heard of him, you probably ought to. And he's done a lot of writing on the idea of discipleship, making disciples. And he made an interesting comment in this book that I'm reading about how the way we have, for the last century or so, the way we have taught people in church is not really in alignment with the Great Commission. Now, the Great Commission, if you know it, say it along with me, and you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. But also, Jesus has said, the last thing he said before he left this earth, he says, go to all the world and make disciples and teaching them to obey all that I've given you. And lo, I'll be with you to the end of the earth. And Dr. Willard observes that a lot of the stuff that we do in churches doesn't really get at this idea of teaching them to obey all that I've given you. So one of the reasons I like Philippians so much, and to some extent Corinthians, but in Philippians, Paul's really trying to get at the idea that you are literally supposed to be different as you grow up in the Lord. And the more you know about the Word of God, that's a good thing. But all that you learn and know about the Word of God is for a purpose. It isn't an end in and of itself. Let me say that again. All of the Bible knowledge that you can soak up and study and memorize, all the Bible study that you can do is not an end in and of itself. Learning the Word of God and filling yourself with the Word of God is a means to the true end, which is for us to become like Christ. And you think about some of the things we talk about as we've gone through Philippians, Paul just keeps returning to this idea that we are to walk differently, we are to be different, we are to grow in our walk with the Lord. A contented Christian, a person who is contented in their maturity and doesn't seek to become more and more Christ-like, is missing the point of the Great Commission. And to a great extent, the church itself is responsible for that. We try to do really great sermons that get you all fired about the Word of the Lord, and that we do the best we can. And we have the Harvest Crusades and things like that, and we get people all fired up. Any of the guys here ever go to a Promise Keepers event? Promise Keepers event. A few years ago they had these big stadium events. They'd get 25,000 men in a stadium, and they'd sing these songs and get the guys all fired up and call people forward and all that. What's interesting about Promise Keepers, they could fill stadiums all over the country. They're not around anymore. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just that what happened was all these men got all fired up for the Lord and all that, and then there was nothing really after that. So the results were not what God is calling for. Yes, we got men all fired up and all that, and then they went back and they were all fired up for a few weeks, and then it was back to business as usual. I was 6 months a Christian, 6 months, when they had the million men, Christian men, on the mall in Washington, D.C. Still have the program. A million men. They were from the Lincoln Memorial all the way back past the Washington Monument. Solid, packed. They opened up the event with 70 Messianic Jewish leaders blowing the shofar horns to call the men to worship. It was amazing. Blows your mind. But there was really no follow-up. So I preface all of this to say that everything that we do, and I say we, not just me, but you and Bible study leaders and you and your private study and all that, you need to understand that the objective is to be a disciple in the sense that you become more and more and more like Jesus. So Paul's letter to the Philippians, for once he's dealing with a church that they're not doing bad. They're actually doing pretty good. He has a little bit of corrective. If you've been here all along, there's been a little bit of guidance and correction. There's a little bit of encouragement under persecution, but mainly it's been about walk more and more like Jesus. So as we come to the end, Paul kind of gives us a why. Throughout this study of Paul's letter to this Philippian church, we see a consistent and important theme. We are to be and to live a certain kind of life when we are followers of Christ. As we come to the end of our time here with Paul in this letter, he summarized some of the most profound words of guidance and encouragement to this faithful church at Philippi. When we are in Christ, we can live within our means and endure the struggles for our faith. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to pick up at verse 10 and go to the end. Philippians chapter 4. As we go into God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've given us your word so that we might become disciples. You've commissioned us to become disciples and obey all that you have given us. Father, we pray as we study these last few sections of this letter that we'll hear and heed the call to become more Christ-like. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we begin with the Philippian church. If you remember, they've been a good supporter of Paul. They provided the best as they could materially. And remember, they had sent volunteers. Remember, we talked about Epaphroditus who had come and Timothy who had come and gone. So the Philippian church has been a pretty good volunteer organization for him. But let's begin here at verse 10. This is Paul saying, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. And I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthened me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. So Paul starts out by his perspective on the gift that they gave. He says, well, you have revived your concern for me. Now, let's not be misunderstanding. This does refer to the financial support that Epaphroditus had brought Paul before. But he wasn't implying that the Philippians didn't care before. He isn't saying that you didn't care before and now you care again. He says you revived your care for me, only that they hadn't had the opportunity before. When they had the opportunity, then their care for Paul was revived. Now here it gets really interesting for this section. He says here, not that I am, let me read it directly. I know how to be brought low. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Not that I am speaking of need. So Paul is not saying, boy, thank you for the gift that you sent to me to help me in my needs. Not that I was really worried about my needs. Because I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content in whatever situation I find myself in. Paul reminds his friends that his thankfulness is actually for their giving. It wasn't because he was needy, though he certainly was. His message to them is he was happy because it was good for them to give. It was good for them to give. So now he speaks words that I would hope would be embraced by every one of us as we deal with life's ups and downs. Y'all have ups and downs in your life, good times and bad times, and it's like the stock market. It goes up and down and up and down. Daily, yeah, daily. But he says, in whatever situation I am to be content. This is how Paul could say that his thankfulness was not based on his own need. He was thankful because he's learned whatever was going on that he was content. Though he was in need, he was content where he was, even in Roman imprisonment. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was sitting in a jail cell, it'd be a bit of a stretch for me to sit there and say, well, I'm content. I'm in jail. And I'm not talking about, what was the lady with the scandal with the college thing. She spent 11 whole days doing pottery in the severe lockup that she was in. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being in a dark hole with no light, no heat, We're talking about being locked up. We're talking about even when he was on house arrest, he was walking around chained to a guard at all times. He was walking around knowing that at any day, when Caesar got around to it, he could be called in and executed. And Paul says,